Hello, my name is Linda Sezik. I'm a practicing nephrologist in Durham, North Carolina. I want to talk about the transition from CKD to dialysis for a variety of reasons. And this is a time in the life of a patient that I think is very vulnerable. It's very emotionally challenging and requires a team approach. The team being the patient, their family, primary care provider, nephrologists, pharmacists, everyone involved. Now, the genesis, the reason that I wanted to go into this topic is two reasons. First of all, it's a topic near and dear to my heart. When I walk into a dialysis unit and meet someone whose first session, dialysis session, is there, and I happen to be the nephrologist that day, I am struck by the emotion that is manifest, is laid out in front of so many complete strangers at such a critical time in a person's life, and I try to be there for them. The reason that I am bringing this point up now is because there is a new chapter in the United States Renal Data Service annual data report. The USRDS is a Congress-mandated annual data review of all people that get dialysis in the United States, and it's published on the website usrds.org. Two volumes. The first volume discusses CKD patients who don't need dialysis. The second volume discusses CKD patients who do need dialysis. In the first volume, there are two new chapters, 8 and 9, that are primarily driven by a good friend of mine, Dr. Cam Kalantar at UC Irvine, that really delve into in great detail the experience of the person who is making that transition from being not on dialysis with kidney disease to requiring dialysis. The first are hospitalizations. Unfortunately, when someone is making that transition from not requiring dialysis to requiring dialysis, their risk of hospitalization goes way up. The most important cause, the most frequent cause of hospitalization, is congestive heart failure. Congestive heart failure can happen prior to dialysis as the kidneys are slowly changing and not peeing out as much sodium as they used to. It can happen after dialysis, as medications are changing, as we take off salt and water with the dialysis machine. Both are very important. Patients' families, primary care providers, keep an eye on the weights of the patients over time. If you start seeing trends upward, let someone know. That's pretty much it. Congestive heart failure, the ability or the retention of sodium can lead to bad hospitalizations and can cause increased risk of mortality, as this chapter goes into. The other big picture item that I wanted to talk about is changes in medications. As someone makes the transition from CKD not requiring dialysis to CKD requiring dialysis, the kidneys, as an organ that can metabolize drugs, change. So doses may need to change, etc. I'm going to get into that. The kidneys, as an organ that can pee out sodium and potassium and phosphorus, fall off in their ability. So different medications need to be added to handle that. Usually people who are just starting dialysis or are on dialysis can have 8 to 10 medications. And as I mentioned in a previous video, the opportunity for medication errors is quite significant. If you are a primary care provider, if you are someone who is taking care of dialysis patients in the hospital and then handing them back to their nephrologist, that you go over their medications with them. Diuretics. Are dialysis patients on diuretics? CKD patients who don't need dialysis are usually almost always on diuretics. Medicines to help their kidneys pee out sodium so that they don't build up the fluid. Very frequently, more often than not, but not always, people who start dialysis no longer need those diuretics. Tell them, why don't you talk to your kidney doctor about this particular medication? So diuretics frequently, but not always, are tapered off. As kidneys fail and you get closer and closer to dialysis, the effective amount of certain drugs may increase in your bloodstream. And, you know, that can be good or bad. And once you start dialysis, the dialysis machine itself may dialyze out the medications. So those are the two points that I wanted to talk about. First, kidneys clearing drugs. I think the best example, although it's not the only one, the best example are medications for diabetes. In this USRDS chapter, you will see a beautiful graph of how glucose goes down as people approach dialysis. For people with diabetes, that's a good thing. It means better blood sugar control, I guess. That's sort of the optimist way of looking at it. But from a safety perspective, that could mean unexpected drops in blood sugar, which can be very dangerous and sometimes deadly. So as you approach the need for dialysis, my folks with diabetes, keep an eye on your blood sugar. Primary care physicians, if you see that someone's hemoglobin A1C, which used to be in the 8s, is now in the 6s, and they've not made any changes, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that their GFR has fallen a little bit more, and maybe their oral hypoglycemic is a little more effective, meaning it's hanging around longer. Insulin also. So bear in mind that better blood sugar control can occur prior to dialysis because medications aren't as cleared as much. After starting dialysis, when you take your medication, around the time of the dialysis procedure needs to be discussed on a medication by medication level with your pharmacist or your nephrologist, because some medicines are cleared by dialysis and need to be taken after dialysis. This is mostly antibiotics, things like that. Some medications aren't cleared by dialysis, but you wouldn't want to take a big dose of maybe an anti-blood pressure medicine and then go into dialysis where we might be trying to remove fluid from your body as a part of the dialysis procedure. So it can get very complicated. So as you're starting dialysis, make sure you understand the timing of your medications. There are a number of frequently asked questions that I've had patients ask me. Primary care providers, please, you know, be prepared to answer. Will I still make urine? Will I still pee? The answer to that is probably not in the long term, but some people can continue to make urine over quite a long period of time. As dialysis goes on in terms of months and years, the kidneys continue to go from a small amount of function to even less, and people make less and less urine. So it will depend on the individual and the time period that they are on dialysis. Bearing in mind that if you go from a lot of urine output to less urine output, it gets back to that weight issue, that ability for the kidneys to pee out sodium and water. And keep an eye on your weight. Will I need to be on dialysis forever is another frequently asked question. I think that the short answer is probably yes. There are anecdotal instances of people that have started dialysis that maybe had a small change in their kidney function, a little bit of an acute injury that reversed and they came off of dialysis, but it's not that common. So hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Now, what I mean by plan for the worst is dialysis may be your ticket to enjoying the rest of your life. But that's the key. It's your ticket to enjoying the rest of your life. Not the end of your life, it's the beginning of a different chapter. And here's my little pep talk, that this is your chapter to learn about and take control over. The things that you need to learn about are your weight, how dialysis affects your weight, how dialysis affects your blood pressure, how dialysis affects the salts in your blood, and what you need to do to help dialysis help you. I hope that this video has brought some insight into the important points in the transition of a life from CKD to requiring dialysis. Please comment. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know if there's anything that you would like to delve into more, and I will find the relevant literature. So with that, my name is Linda Sezik. I'm a practicing nephrologist in Durham, North Carolina. I love my patients. I wish that we can make this time less traumatic for everyone. Have a great night.